10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to hour number three of Radio Law Talk. I was about to say, if you don't get hour number three, please contact your local radio station. And then it occurred to me that if you don't get hour number three, you're probably not able to hear this. So if you're listening on the podcast, you know, because these all drop. These episodes of Radio Law Talk are usually on our podcast, and the podcast is covered on all the podcast streaming services. So if you're listening to this and it's hour three and you're like, oh, yeah, there is an hour three, contact your radio station and say, hey, you need to carry the third hour of Radio Law Talk. There's our shameless plug, right? Right? Right, Denise?
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
That's my story and I'm sticking by it.
And thanks to Fritz and the people who post the podcast every week because I get it to them and they pop it right up there. It's great.
That is awesome stuff.
And it's all free, by the way.
It is.
Yeah,
it
no
is.
Cost.
Not much in life is free, but this is.
And it's searchable, so you can actually type in a little subject matter, and all of the times we talked about that will come up, and you can podcast that subject you are most interested in.
Free and worth every penny, as we say.
Yes. You know, Cal, I realize I was... So if you're listening here, and you've listened to all 3 hours, but you... What I'm going to say next, you should go back and just play in your mind for the first 2 hours. It's our disclaimers. I didn't give those during the first 2 hours. Anything that we say here on Radio Law Talk, we are not offering legal advice. So don't take anything that we said as, oh, there is that. That's the way we should do this and the way I should do that with my case. What's going on? The only advice that I can really give to folks is that if you have a legal issue, go seek out an attorney in your jurisdiction, in your locale, and make an appointment with them so that you can discuss your case with them. And all of that is protected under the attorney-client privilege, and you can get advice from a local attorney that is specific to your issue.
So. And opinions on Radio Law Talk apparently do not set precedent. Who knew? I thought they were like Supreme Court level.
Exactly. Yeah. When we first started, we had high hopes, but you know,
oh, well.
Here we are.
So
there we go. There we go. You know, I didn't mention this. My son. You ever heard that thing, you know, be careful, you'll end up having a kid that is just like you?
Warning.
So my son, I got to give a shout out to my son's school. He's a senior in high school, and he's been in the theater program, and this is the last production that he'll be in as a high school student. And this spring, right now, they are doing Shrek the Musical.
Oh, good.
Shrek the Musical. And my son has been cast as Lord Farquaad.
So is he on his knees in this costume?
He is. So he's on his knees, but they have a little front. So when he moves, he's wearing dark pants and he's got a cape that's got a dark underside. So everything's kind of shadowed. And then they have in bright yellow the Lord Farquaad legs.
So it's a hilarious look, by the way. It's so funny. Yeah.
And you know, the school is big enough that they actually have alternating casts. So one night, it'll be one cast doing it. So he is Lord Farquaad in one cast. And then in the next cast, he is Papa Ogre, who plays Shrek's dad at the very beginning, at the very end. And he alternates with the guy who plays Farquaad in the other cast plays Papa Ogre in the cast that my son plays Farquaad in. So all I'm going to say is this. My son is just as much of a smart aleck as his dad.
Oh, come on. Much to the director's chagrin.
Oh, probably. I'm trying to get... My son does a very spot-on Donald Trump impression. And I just think it would be hilarious if during one part, you know, when he's got this monologue all by himself where he's thinking about Princess Fiona, if he just broke into his Trump impression, Princess Fiona. Fiona, hearing wonderful things about Fiona. I think that would bring the house down, but he's too chicken to do it. He's too chicken to do it. Come on, Mason. Live a little.
You know, my son was Aladdin.
Oh.
And it was a musical. And it was done at a time when his voice was changing.
Oh, great.
And it was so cute because he's singing, and all of a sudden you hear it go, ah, and make a big, and his eyes got as big as saucers. It was so fun to watch.
Like that episode of the Brady Bunch where Greg is paid the non-refundable amount to record the Brady the Brady 6 album, right. And Peter's voice is now changing.
Yeah, it sounded like that.
Oh, brother. Yeah, well, and Shrek, this is a musical too, and Mason has, or my son, has a lot of singing parts. And here's the thing. I've never heard Mason sing ever. You know, he didn't want to try out for Grease last fall because it was a musical. He didn't want to sing, didn't want to do anything. Dude's doing it. He's got a pretty good voice.
Got the chops.
He's got the chops. Awesome. So good for him. But, you know, look, guys. Stop talking about your own kid, Todd. Stop talking about it. I'm coming to grips that after he graduates, I will no longer have any K through 12 age children in my home. Where did the last 20 years go? They're growing up fast.
Life changes once you're an empty nester. It changes a lot, and it goes faster and faster.
Oh, I didn't say I was an empty nester. yeah, my kids are 18 to 23. They're still in the nest.
Well, that's something you can work on.
Yeah, they're still in the nest. I'm just not able to deduct them anymore, dang it. So anyway, Cal, get it set up for our case
or
no case.
All right, here we go. All right, here we go.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
Peter Strange's brother, Ralphie, lived and died in Florida. Lived there and died there unexpectedly. Peter's mother, with whom Ralphie lived, called him to come and help settle things up. He did so. He paid for his own trip, even paid for Ralphie's funeral. But then he learned that Ralph had a $100,000 life insurance policy for which his mother and sister were named as beneficiary. Peter realized his family had taken advantage of his generosity, so he sent his mom and sister a letter asking for reimbursement for just a third of the funeral, $12,000. He wanted $4,000 from them. His mother said, "I'd like to help, but I spent the money on my own bills." And his sister said, "Don't ever call me again, you ghoul." So that was that. And so he went to an attorney to see if he might be able to get reimbursed for the funeral costs, just two-thirds of them, third from his mom, third from his sister, from the life insurance proceeds or whatever means. And I think, Denise, you're first on this, aren't you?
Again? I am.
Okay, what do you think?
Well, I don't think that he can. I don't think there's any ability for him to do so, unless there was some instruction by a will or something that said this life insurance policy will go to my sister and my mother, however they have to pay for my funeral, you know, or some kind of writing or some kind of something. Because you, as in fact, I was just listening to it. It's called The Unclaimed. It's a book about people.
It's a book about my dating life.
No,
my
it's a
Tinder
book
profile.
It's a book about people who pass on and their families do not know it or never claim their bodies.
Wow.
And they end up in a big, huge group hole, if you will, as where they're buried.
So and a mass grave, you would say.
Yeah. So okay. Family members do not have an obligation to pay for a funeral. So there's no obligation for him to get reimbursed. So this is no case.
All right. Now, to be fair, the life insurance policy was entitled burial policy, and then you know, that was in there. But anyway, just to be fair, just so you know that, you can change your mind if you want. But anyway.
It said burial policy?
Yeah, that was how his family referred to it, but that's a separate story. Not the title on the policy, but it was...
Burial policy. Again,
it was implied
a direct reference to my Tinder profile. All right, when we come back, I'll go
dead
ahead.
Dead on arrival.
Ah, three times a charm.
Oh, so you've seen it, huh? Okay.
All right, we'll be back after this.
This is Radio Law Talk. Thanks for listening. We'll be back momentarily after we break away. Thanks for turning us on.
commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
What's your IRS problem? Do you owe back taxes? Is there a lien placed on your property? Have your bank accounts been frozen or seized? Have your wages been garnished? Are you being audited by the IRS? Are they sending you letters that demand actions and have urgent due dates? Well, solving your tax problems is as easy as calling Taxes321. The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. You need the best representation to give you peace of mind. You need experienced professionals that can cut through the red tape and stop the collection process. If you have a serious problem with the IRS, call the Taxes 321 Network today. We'll get them off your back.
800-738-0170, 800-738-0170, 800-738-0170, 800-738-0170.
Do you run a business and want to learn how you can get between $10,000 to $5 million in 60 seconds? We're Biz2Credit, a top-rated online financing provider to hundreds of thousands of America's business owners. If your business does at least $120,000 a year in gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business in as little as 72 hours. Our terms are simple, repayment plans are flexible, and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $5 million in cash deposited to your business bank account in the next 2 to 3 days. Funding specialists are ready to take your call right now and get you the money you need, fast. Call 800-559-5523. That's 800-559-5523. Again, 800-559-5523. Call now.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 plus Medicare, our free service can show you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistance programs, and save you money. Plus, call right now and get a free report on how to avoid costly Medicare mistakes. Call now.
800-220-7612. 800-220-7612. 800-220-7612. That's 800-220-7612. How would you like to publish and sell your own audiobook? Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. You'll choose from one of our many voice actors. Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Consumers are mobile these days, and having an audiobook helps authors reach a larger customer base, which increases book sales. From narration, production, and editing to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network does it all for you. We hold your hand throughout the entire production process. We'll create an audiobook that you can be proud of. It doesn't cost or take as much time as you may think. In fact, for us, it's pretty easy. It's what we do. If you've got a published print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, give Audiobook Network a call right now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-721-4869. 800-721-4869. That's 800-721-4869.
You see what happens when you try to be nice?
Radio Law Talk. I like that show.
I recognize that in people every time now.
This is Radio Law Talk.
So the case or no case when we went into the break was dude dies, his brother comes in with his mom and sister. Dude, the funeral's $12,000. He pays $4,000 a third for his brother's funeral.
Well, he pays for the whole thing.
Oh, he paid for the whole thing. Pays for the entire funeral. And then, that's right, that's right. And then finds out that there was his brother, the deceased, had a life insurance policy, and the mom and the sister who didn't pay squat for the funeral were named as the beneficiaries of this $100,000 policy. And so he tries to, you know, say, you know, putting aside his frustration that he wasn't named in the policy, says, hey, you know, how about we split this three ways? You guys both pony up $4,000, be fair. And mom says, sorry, I already spent all my money. And the sister
called him a vulture and other names I will not repeat on the radio.
Okay. And I just out of curiosity, how long after the funeral did he find out about that policy?
About a month. He was back home. He flew out from Minnesota, did all of this in Florida, got home, and then found out about a month later and said, you know, it's only fair. Look, I paid $12,000 for the funeral. I flew out at my own expense. I helped clean up the house. I got rid of his stuff. I did all this.
It was about a month that he asked, or about a month that he even found out that there was this
policy?
That
he found out, and then he started, you know, figuring out, asking at that point.
Okay. All right. And because, like, in a month, I'm thinking, boy, mom blew through all the money, her share of the $100,000 policy in a month?
Well, wow. She had a house to pay off and other things. You know, what could happen?
All right. You know, unless there was a pre-existing agreement between the three of them, they would split it. It's hard to go back after the fact and say, look, this thing that I did that was this magnanimous thing that I did, paying for all of it, I wouldn't have, I should be paid back because I only did it because I thought nobody else had any money or whatever. Well, look, unless you had an agreement, there's no contract that's enforceable. You called it a burial.
Well, I'll tell you why. Peter's lawyer, it is a case, so we'll go that far. Peter's lawyer did say the traditional use of life insurance is for burial. That's what he said in court. That was his first argument.
All right. The tradition. You know, I still.
Wait a second. Are you, like, feeding him something?
I fed both of you this. You're both going to get points for the fact that it was a case. That's
okay,
all.
So Denise, we don't get points because it was a case.
You're going to get points.
You're going to get a point because it's a case.
I said it was a case.
So the question, I'll throw it back to you, Denise. Knowing that it's a case,
how did it come out?
What do you think happens? What do you think the turnout is? And based upon what the lawyer testified, that a burial policy is typically understood to be a policy that covers the cost of a funeral.
I'm going to say he loses.
Okay. What do you think, Todd?
I'm going to say that he wins. And the reason why I say that is because the lawyer would have only been called as a witness at the trial as some sort of an expert in the field to talk about what this policy was or was not supposed to cover. I mean, I can't imagine why the lawyer would be a witness in a case unless it was to testify as to what the policy was.
I thought he was just doing oral argument.
Yeah, this was in his argument. Yeah.
Oh, this in his argument? Okay.
Right.
I think that he still ends up winning because I think a jury goes, you guys knew you were getting money and stayed silent and let him pony up all this money. You should have ponied up and regardless of what, this will be a nice segue into our discussion on reasonable doubt. Regardless of the standard, I think the jury gets ticked off and they fine for him anyway.
I think that's a great observation. Both of you had good points on this. Peter's lawyer said it's standard practice that life insurance is burial insurance first. The judge said, says who? Life insurance is money. I'm sorry, you lose. And that is case or no case. It was a family matter the court could not resolve.
So Denise gets 2 points, I get one, right?
Yep, that's right.
Well, actually,
double
Denise
double
gets 4 points, I get two.
Correct. That's correct.
Okay.
Ooh, guess what?
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Go ahead. What?
I'm almost caught up.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
All right, that's good.
1 point away from you.
Oh, 1 point separates us. All right. Well, I said that would segue into the discussion here, because one of the other things Denise and I were talking about was this idea of beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, that's a standard. You ever heard that phrase, Cal, beyond a reasonable doubt?
I have, usually in a criminal case, I would think, like in a murder or something like that.
Almost.
The Murdaugh case is the example I'm thinking of.
Well, in any criminal case, if it's an infraction all the way up to murder, the lowest type of crimes, the most severe type of crimes, the burden of proof is always the same. The prosecution has to show evidence of guilt, and the jury has to believe that it was beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, we're going to go into a break, and I'm going to set up a scenario for you, all right? So, let's say that the jury is deliberating. They have decided, the jury has reached an agreement that the defendant is guilty, whatever the defendant is charged with, that they've reached a verdict that the defendant is guilty. And the foreperson of the jury has the verdict form, and the foreperson is usually the one that has to fill out the verdict forms. They select it. Sometimes they have one that's got a circle, guilty or not guilty. Sometimes they give them two verdict forms. One is the guilty one, one is the not guilty one, and they fill out the one that represents their verdict. They toss the other one or give the other one back to the judge to or the bailiff to throw away. But let's say that the foreperson is getting ready to sign the verdict form that says guilty. And when they do, one of the jurors says, "Boy, you know, I sure hope we're doing the right thing. I don't know. I sure hope we're doing the right thing." Should the foreperson of the jury complete the form, or do they still have work to do? That's the question that it relates to beyond reasonable doubt.
Do judges still ask, "So say you all"? I mean, is that a common kind of a phrase? Or
They do. They'll also, at request of a party, poll the jury. So individually, is this your verdict? Yes. Is this your verdict? Yes. And they just go one by one.
Got it.
So that's the question. Should the foreperson continue to fill out that verdict form if, as they're doing so, one of the jurors says, sure hope we're doing the right thing?
Radio Law Talk continues. That is the right thing. We'll be back after we break away. Don't go anywhere.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Quick Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell on your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quick Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick 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 Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash.
Do you want to know the secret to putting extra money back in your pocket? Then switch your car insurance. And now you can make one phone call and shop dozens of insurance companies. Just like buying airline tickets, where it's easy to make one call that has all the best deals. We have great deals with most of the major top-rated insurance companies. We are your superstore for car insurance. We've switched people from their expensive car insurance plans and saved them hundreds of dollars a year. If you think you're paying too much for your car insurance, call now. It's easy to switch, and in 5 minutes, yes, just 5 minutes, you'll learn how much money you can save on your car insurance. Save yourself some money this year. Call now for your car insurance. Call eInsurance now for your free car insurance quote. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. That's 800-251-0427.
No more mold. No more damage. No more outdated old bathroom. No more slipping and hurting. No more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-294-8702. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-294-8702. Call BCI Bath and Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-294-8702. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-294-8702. 800-294-8702.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family, take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. That's 800-283-6730.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. That's 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473.
Alrighty then. What the heck is that thing?
This is Radio Law Talk.
All right, we are back. Went into the, boy, I got to clear my throat. Don't eat a peanut bar at any time.
True.
On a break because, I mean, I'm not allergic to peanuts, but still.
No, they kind of stick in your throat a little bit, and they make you, like, cough or something.
That was one of my favorite commercials. It was a Super Bowl commercial, I think it was. And the guy, it was the guy who was running the historical museum for, was it Raymond Burr, I think?
Aaron Burr.
And it was, you can call in and win, you know, $1 million or whatever if you have the answer, who shot so-and-so, and it was this guy, Aaron Burr, but he had just eaten a bunch of peanut butter. He couldn't say the words.
English, do you speak it?
Aaron Burr. I'm sorry.
So we went into the break, and I had asked this question. You're the foreperson of a jury, and you're getting ready. It's a criminal case, and the jury has decided that the defendant is guilty of whatever they were charged with, and the foreperson is getting ready to fill out the guilty verdict form, at which point one of the jurors says, I sure hope we're doing the right thing. Should the foreperson continue filling out that form, or does the jury have more work to do given the burden of proof being beyond a reasonable doubt? What do you think, Denise? Should the foreperson continue to fill out that verdict form, give it to the judge, be done with it?
Well, not give it to the judge.
But if a person expresses that, Denise, is that a reason? Is that just a doubt? Is they're just saying, "Well, I hope we did the right thing," but you know, my doubt. How do you determine if your doubt is reasonable?
Well, I think that's what you know, Todd is trying to get to, that the foreman has to determine whether or not he has a reasonable doubt or not.
Yeah. I mean,
not necessarily the jury foreman, that's not necessarily his duty, but maybe to have all of the other jurors to talk about it to make sure that everybody is on the same page about not having a reasonable doubt.
So when I say fill out the form, what I mean by that is, should the foreperson continue with the process of letting the judge know, judge, we've reached a verdict, we're ready to be called back in and wrap this case up, or does the jury still have more work to do? What do you think? Should the foreperson continue to wrap up the case like they had all that he was intending, or do they go back and deliberate more? What do you think?
Well, I think all the jurors have that duty to make sure
regardless,
everybody's on the same page.
Okay, so
in a criminal matter, it has to be unanimous.
That's true. You're focusing too much on the duty of the foreperson. I'm focusing on, does the jury have a verdict at that point? Should the jury collectively go forward and tell the judge, or does the jury have more work to do because one of them is saying, I sure hope we're doing the right thing?
I think they have to make sure, exactly what I just said,
okay,
that there is no reasonable doubt by any juror.
So at that point in time, because that juror says it, you're saying that they probably should not tell the judge, we've reached a verdict, judge.
Correct.
Okay. What do you think?
Not at that stage.
What do you think, Cal?
So they're not done yet? I mean, I can see two scenarios where the other jurors turn and say, come on, really? We just went over this. We all voted on it. What's the problem?
12 Angry Men.
Yeah,
The movie 12 Angry Men.
And that one person goes, I have doubt. Well, okay, what's the doubt? Let's figure it out. That's my opinion. I think they should just figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, so here's another one. Because I agree with you. And this is actually an analogy I've used in jury selection before when I am doing voir dire with the jury. I say, okay, there's the scenario. Let me go through, Mr. Jones. You said, what would you do in a situation like that? You think you've got it? Or do you think you guys still have work to do as a jury? Because what I'm looking for is people that, look, is somebody just going to say, you know what, I'm more interested in getting out of here than doing my job? What if the person who says, boy, I sure hope we're doing the right thing, what if they say, look, here's the deal. I can't put my finger on it, but I just, you know, it could go one way or another, and I'm just not comfortable. Now, I use that term very specific. What if one of the jurors says, I could go one way or another, but I'm leaning towards the prosecution? If that is one juror or even the entire jury's collective feeling, it could go one way or another, but I'm leaning towards the prosecution. In a criminal trial, what should the verdict be? What do you think that verdict should be? Cal?
If they're all leaning toward the prosecution, it should be guilty. I mean,
they think it could go either way, but they're leaning toward the prosecution.
Right, they're always going to have juror's remorse, buyer's remorse, however you want to look at it. But if that's their sense of all of this, then they ought to go ahead and act on it, in my opinion. I could be wrong.
What about you, Denise?
Unless I'm the guy that they're trying to rail up the river, right.
There's three different standards. There is burden of proof, basically a preponderance of the evidence.
That's
like a weighing standard. Mm-hmm. Does it weigh more in one side or to the other side, right? If it's exactly equal, then there's, you know, you can't find in favor of anybody. If it is clear and convincing evidence, then that means you're more convinced by this evidence than you are from other evidence. So it's a little more of a weight on one side or the other.
That's kind of what I'm saying, Denise.
But the beyond the reasonable doubt means you have no doubt that this is the fact.
That's different. Is that a reasonable doubt or is that no doubt? That's not the same thing in my mind. I could be wrong.
No, it's reasonable doubt. But it's not no doubt. You're right. It is beyond a reasonable doubt. But then you have to discuss what's reasonable.
Yes.
Right? I have a doubt. Well, what's reasonable? And that's what I think Todd's trying to say here is that you've got to really be beyond a reasonable doubt.
See, here's the hard part with the beyond reasonable doubt standard And it's no problem with the standard in and of itself. The hard part about it is that it's a standard that people rarely use in their daily life when making a decision. When people make a decision, most of the time they use the either the preponderance, okay, which side do I believe more, or the clear and convincing standard. But very rarely are people called upon to make a decision. This is, look, you can't decide to do this thing unless you believe beyond a reasonable doubt, to a moral certainty, that that is the right thing to do. People just don't make decisions using that standard very often. So what happens is when they get back in the jury box, when they get back in the jury to deliberate, even though they hear what beyond reasonable doubt is, subconsciously, they start to default to the standard they use to make every decision. And then you get with the, look, I would have a real problem with somebody who says, look, it could go either way, but I'm leaning toward the prosecution. In my opinion, that's a not guilty verdict under a criminal standard. That would be a great finding for the plaintiff in a civil case. But this is beyond reasonable doubt. And if you're saying, look, both sides had things, but I'm leaning toward the prosecution. Well, look at the things that are in the defense column there. And those things, while not carrying the day under a preponderance standard, those things collectively should punt a criminal prosecution, because you can't have beyond reasonable doubt while at the same time going, but the defense does make some good points.
Well, here's the thing. In the Murdoch case, I can't tell you how many people said, I just cannot get around a husband and a father killing his wife and son. I just cannot put that in my head. Well, that's not a reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
That's more like a bias or prejudice.
Exactly.
So, you know, that if you can get behind that, what you're having that kind of a doubt about, and realize, wow, that's not a reasonable doubt, then you could convict.
And it's the defense's job to plant these seeds and try to make you question what you're really seeing on the prosecution side. Is that not true?
That is very true.
Well, you know, you see, here's the thing. It's not the planting. The thing to remember here is that when a defendant walks into a courtroom, he or she enjoys the presumption of innocence.
Right.
And there's only one thing nobody wins, technically. Nobody wins in a criminal case. Either the defendant leaves at the conclusion of the case with the exact same presumption that they were entitled to when they entered, which is not guilty, or they leave the courtroom either out the door or into the jail with no longer enjoying that. So nobody wins anything. The only thing at stake is whether or not a defendant loses that presumption of innocence. And it's the sole burden of the prosecution to convince a jury beyond a reasonable doubt before the jury can take that from the defendant. And before that happens, they better know. And it shouldn't be, well, it was close, but I decided with the prosecution. So, that becomes problematic because it's the standard, but it's not always employed, and we'll be back.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com. If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In, ready to grow with you.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Here's Fred Penny with Penny and Associates.
When you or a family member have been injured in an accident, what should you look for in a personal injury lawyer? The first thing is an experienced personal injury law firm that is actually taking cases to trial. Hi, I'm Frederick Penny, managing partner and founder of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. For over 30 years, Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers has been successfully representing individuals and their families. At Penny & Associates, we're experienced trial lawyers, and we work with you to get the best results.
Go to pennyandassociates.com or call 800-616-4529.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do. But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Man, I know this place right down the road. Quick Quack Car Wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash. They'll have you looking sharp.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now at 800-580-7703, 800-580-7703, 800-580-7703.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan or just not happy with what you're paying for? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate or at little or no cost to you? Your life needs are always changing, but have you done anything to improve your health insurance for you and your family? Health insurance laws and coverage are always changing and getting better. It's impossible to do all the research yourself, but now it's all done for you for free. So regardless of your age or medical condition, take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
Paid for by Cheaper Health Insurance. 800-635-7188. 800-635-7188. 800-635-7188. That's 800-635-7188.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Radio Law Talk.
Email the show anytime you'd like. info@radiolawtalk.com. I-N-F-O. Info.
Info.
At radiolawtalk.com. .com.
Boy, we talked a lot about beyond reasonable doubt. I got to tell you the reason why that really... Cal?
Yes, sir.
It was your fault.
What did I do now?
It was your fault when you we were talking about O.J. Simpson earlier on. And
wow.
You were like, he was wearing the rubber glove underneath the glove they wanted him to try on, and the glove was old, and they should have tried on this other thing, and it just got to me thinking, all right, but if the prosecution hasn't cleared that mind up in the mind of the jury to their satisfaction, hey, Mr. Darden, you opened that can of worms.
Or if the jury says, no matter what, these are the LAPD, and we're not going to turn the verdict. We have a built-in bias here, which sociologists later have established is pretty much the case.
Well,
so it's pretty interesting.
Could be. I mean, certainly there's the jury nullification aspect of it. I did have a case once. This was frustrating. It wasn't my case. It was a person I was supervising. They did a DUI trial, a jury convicted. And the issue here was the officer never observed driving. An officer actually came up on this person whose car was parked in this area. She had gone out to collect stuff, came back, and her car was stuck there. And there's no question he had evidence that she had been collecting rocks and little knickknacks and trinkets and stuff from all around.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no observed driving. And driving is one of the elements of the offense. right?
I guess it's called driving under the influence. Got it. Okay.
And when you talk about beyond reasonable doubt, okay, beyond reasonable, the jury has to believe each element. So they have to believe that beyond reasonable doubt that the defendant drove and that the defendant, beyond a reasonable doubt, was drunk when they drove and they did this. Well, the jury ends up coming back and they convict, right? But sometimes the jury sticks around and talks to the attorneys, and this was this particular attorney's first jury trial. So I was helping her out, supervising her. We went out, we talked to the jury, and one of the jurors goes, no joke, first thing, you know, I mean, I wasn't really sure. I don't know that the prosecution act proved that she actually drove the vehicle, but she was really, really drunk, and so that's why I voted guilty.
Mm.
And I was like,
hello.
Okay, the verdict should be not guilty then, because if you don't think that they proved one of these elements at all, you can't do it just because there was great evidence that she was drunk, you know? It's tough for jurors because you're asking them in a situation, okay, you need to do this thing here and make a collective group decision, and you're probably not going to be called upon to do this but a couple times in your life.
In a very precise way, like you point out, in a precise conclusion.
Yeah. And look, so why do we talk about this? Well, we talk about it because it's Radio Law Talk, but consider this, okay? So this murder case up in Idaho, where the guy, Brian Koberger, is accused of killing four college students in their apartment in a very grisly manner. I mean, and then he was later caught, I think it was in Oklahoma, at his parents' place.
Pennsylvania.
I know it ended in an And so he was found there, and so there's this question. A lot of odd things about this case. The defense was able to get, before the place was torn down, the defense was able to get it recorded enough so they can get their investigators in to do some sort of a crime scene investigation. That doesn't happen too often with defense cases, because oftentimes it's been a long time before they catch somebody and things like that.
Yeah, I think that was in connection, if I remember right, with the extradition from one state to another. And I don't know if that was negotiated, that he would be extradited as long as his attorney could get in and get in quickly, because that decision was made while he was still in Philadelphia.
That's right. It was made while he was still in Philadelphia, and the requests from the attorneys that were all public defenders.
Right.
And so it's like, boy, public defender hasn't even been appointed in Washington or in Idaho yet, but you know they were on the ball because they knew it was coming their way. And so now the issue in this case is the timing of the trial. And it's because there have been some continuance requests. The prosecution has wanted to move faster, but the defense has this – they have this alibi defense that I don't necessarily know that it qualifies as a quote-unquote alibi. His alibi is himself. I was somewhere else. That's not an alibi. It's somebody else that puts you somewhere else.
I have to drive late night because I don't sleep well.
Yes, which is it's like, okay, if that worked as an alibi defense, every defendant would have an alibi defense. It wasn't me. Oh well, if you say so.
Every woman in menopause,
or a newborn mother with a newborn child,
yes,
who won't go to sleep, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep. You got it.
But, you know, so this case, I mean, they're trying to get this trial date in. And victims have a right to make a statement, and they have the right to their voices being heard. And this is far better than the way it used to be, where it was like, oh, you're the victim, but shut up and let us do our job, which is a way a lot of victims felt like they were treated historically.
Right.
Which is terrible. But, you know, to the continuance requests, the victims are saying, you know, we want to start healing. We do. We want justice. We want to move on from the horrible tragedy. So please start making a decision. Get to work and quit playing the delay game, right? And I get where that's coming from. And I hope I am never in a case like this, I'd rather be the victim than the family member of a victim, because it just goes on. And it's heart-wrenching, right? But you've heard me say this before, be careful what you wish for, be careful what you ask for. You push a case along and don't give a defendant enough time to make their appeal or make their case, you're gift-wrapping issues on appeal. What do you really gain from it if you've pushed so much to get this case to trial that a defendant now is able to come back and say, ineffective assistance of counsel because we didn't have enough time to do what we needed to do our investigation, to get what we needed to get. You know, don't you want to have certainty in the conviction, right? And that's a tough one for a judge to balance, because on the other hand, Denise, we've talked about this a lot. What is a huge problem with delay from the time of the offense until trial in terms of witnesses who may testify? What's a problem we've got there? You know, memory?
You just took my quick takeaway.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, you know.
Because that's what I was thinking, too. Exactly that.
Yeah.
I would see that delay would always be on the side of the defense. And it's like the mother, the party mother. I mean, she's been 2 years in jail. She just now got a new public defender because her old attorney she couldn't afford anymore. And she's agreed to yet another delay. Now, she's in jail, mind you, but she's still agreeing to have a delay.
The flip side, though, is sometimes a defendant will not waive time and push. Like, I want to have my trial in 60 days from the preliminary hearing. And what does that do?
Wasn't that Baldwin, Alec?
That was Baldwin.
Yeah.
And that puts pressure on the prosecution. Better make sure you got all of your ducks in a row, right? And
right.
So that's it.
And make sure you disclose everything that could be exonerating.
That's right.
And, you know, it puts pressure on, it does put pressure on both sides, to be candid.
Koberger is a death penalty case. So I say you want to make sure you get that one right. Because if you prevail on appeal, but the guy's already dead, and by the way, Idaho has firing squad.
They haven't used it yet, though, have they?
Well, there's a first time for anything.
And they're willing.
Isn't that the one that they tried to put somebody to death, and they kept poking him, and couldn't get a vein?
That was Alabama or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But they have a firing squad in that state, too, and they didn't use it.
I think what the option was with the prisoner, at least it was in Utah, the prisoner could choose, right?
That's right.
Choose. Right.
And since Denise mentioned quick take, why don't we go ahead and get to that?
Yeah, let's hear what they are. I'd be curious. Todd, you want to go first?
I'll go first. On the issue of appropriate punishments, I still maintain the punishment I'd like to see for death penalty cases is to give the inmate an opportunity to star in a film by doing the stunt that if there were no safety protocols would certainly lead to death, and if they survive, they get to go free. But if they die, the proceeds, the royalties, go to the victim's family.
You know, I used to think the same thing when I was... Denise, what's your quick take, man?
My quick take is if memories fade and witnesses die over time, then how come more defendants don't waive their right to a speedy trial?
Great question.
That's true. Why don't they do it? And why doesn't that apply to my ex-wife who remembered everything? There was no fading of memory. You're listening to Radio Law Talk. Thanks for being here, folks. We'll be back next week.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.